You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Welcome to Friday, the final day of the week. You can go ahead and applaud right now. In with me today is
Mr. Brian Savick. Pleasure to be here again, Steve.
Again, you're welcome back. Welcome back. You weren't dismissed after the first try. That's good. Someone to talk to, and now I still have Tom. He's my resident hockey guy.
Oh, okay.
We had hockey yesterday. But today, you know, we're going to talk about, I hope to have a couple of guys call in. The Arizona Daily Star beat reporter for basketball, one of my colleagues, one of my competitors for a number of years. When I was at the Citizen for a number of years, he had Bruce Pasco, who's at the Daily Star. He's been there forever. Not forever, but almost 20 years now. And I hope to have him call in. He's on the road, so let's see when he calls in, if he can call in. And then Anthony Jamino, a colleague of mine with All Sports Tucson and a lot of different things that we do together. I want to talk, if anybody wants to call in and feel miserable about this, the Illinois game with Arizona that Sunday.
Well, let's give them the phone number.
Wait, let me finish my statement, Mom. Hold on. The statement, the Illinois game, not so much Sunday, but the packed, the game from back in 2006 when everybody started to cry, the day that basketball ended kind of here in Tucson for a lot of people, where they had that 15-point lead, 14-point lead in the final few minutes and they lost to Illinois. They played them since. If I can remember correctly, they played them since and got some revenge, if you can get revenge like that. But if you remember your worst moment that day, that game, I'm hoping to talk to Anthony because we were together. We were sitting next to each other, actually, about that, and we had a lot of memories, a lot of crazy memories. So if you'd like to call, please do. We already got a caller, 790-2040, 790-2040, talk about that big game. And this team, this year's team, Sunday's game with Illinois, it's on TV at 7 o'clock. A lot of things going on locally here, even though the football team, guess what will happen this weekend with the football team?
Yeah, they lost.
No. This weekend, what will happen with them?
Oh, what will happen?
They won't lose.
You don't think they'll lose?
They don't play.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. You can't play. We got a call, John?
Yes, and will you go ahead and give out the phone number now?
I've said it two or three times already.
No, that's fine. I'd like to hear it again. You can never say it too much.
Get the producer on this. Oh, you are the producer, right?
790-2040. Yes, really? Really? Like you can't say it too much. All right.
Thank you, Tom.
Here you go, John.
Let's go to John. No, this call could scare me.
Tom, do you notice Steve likes to call people names?
Do I know? Oh, yes.
John, let me stop there, John.
I've noticed that a lot this afternoon. It's just one name after another, you know, goof, silly.
Oh, yeah.
Diva.
Diva, yes, you are a diva. In fact, do you have any good jokes? You know, dad jokes? I'm sure you do. But let's not regress. John, why are you calling? To give me harassment?
No, I just enjoyed the first few minutes of the show, Steve, and I'm wondering what you think the chances of us winning any other football game this year are.
Any one? I would give it
any at all.
Yes, yeah, no. I less than 10%.
Well, take them a game at a time.
0%, 0%.
And even against Arizona State, you're going to say 0%?
There's your 10%.
Okay.
John, would you say, what would you be your percentage, John?
I think they have a chance to win one. And you know which one it is, Steve? You're gonna laugh and call me names again.
Utah.
ASU.
Oh, yeah. No. I think that's the most winnable game. And you know, you've been here a long time and around long enough to know that that game is always crazy.
I just think they're going to win it this year. And that means Sumlin gets another year.
Oh, no. You mean to tell me if he doesn't win that it's over?
If they have a game like they had last year with ASU, I think the boosters will write a check.
No, I don't know if the boosters are tired of writing checks.
So you think that Sumlin may be on a warm, if not hot, seat, John?
If he loses another ASU game like that one, where we had it won, yes.
Yeah.
Especially if they have a lead and blow it, yeah.
If they lose it like the way you said it, yes, maybe. Firing, not so much. Is he on the hot seat? No. Is he on the warm seat? Of course.
I just wonder how many boosters they lost because of that ASU game.
Well, good question. And those are maybe some of the ones that would be writing a check there, John.
Maybe so.
And let me ask you, do you remember the game in 2006 with Illinois basketball?
That was another, we had it won, and then we lost it at the end.
Yes. Do you remember where you were and what you were feeling?
No, I don't remember that, Steve.
You don't?
No, I don't remember. Where I was when we lost a basketball game.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're a fan.
I remember when Max Zendejas kicked the three in Tempe to have Arizona beat ASU.
When was that? What year was that?
82, 83, something like that.
Uh-huh. Why do you remember that? No, I wasn't here. I got here in 87.
Okay. Why do I remember that one? I was living in Phoenix, and I just thought, once again, we had the game won, and Larry Smith stole the game away from us. At that time, I was an ASU fan because I lived up there.
Mm-hmm. Larry Smith stole the game away from you?
From the Sun Devils, yeah. I thought that was a brilliant play, a field goal at the end of the game. And the Zendejas brothers were always great at kicking field goals.
Let me ask you, because you're an occasional caller, how, on a scale of 1 to 10, what type of fan are you?
Five.
So you're, well, kind of as you should be, given the profession you're in. True. Are you a UA grad?
No.
No. Okay. So you have no really emotional dog in the fight.
Well, you don't either.
No, I don't. And that's why I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of sports at all.
So, John, are you more of a fair weather fan than a faithful fan?
Since you
characterize you as a 5 out of 10, I guess.
Every year, though, I have hope for the team, but this year, this football team, I just didn't have any hope. Usually I have fresh, renewed hope, just like springtime, Tom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But this year, no.
John, I think that you're typical of the fans now, here, today, because there was not a whole lot of fanfare going into the season. There's definitely not a whole lot of fanfare right now. Don't you feel that?
I just think we're going to beat ASU, but I don't think we'll win another game.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that could account for the down feeling of the fans for the football team for the renewed energy we saw in the basketball game against NAU. I mean, the fans were getting into that like they used to.
No, they still had 2,000 seats, not full.
I know, but they were very vocal. They were getting more so than I've heard.
How?
Recently.
Last year they were horrible.
That's what I mean.
Last year they were just bad. You don't cheer for a bad team.
Yeah. The Zona Zoo.
Zona Zoo's overrated.
Overrated. They didn't do
it's
much.
It's overrated. A lot of the seats were missing. It's overrated.
How many people attended last week's football game?
They announced 36. I was about...
You believe that?
No, of course not. I thought maybe less than 30.
How did they get away with that?
Tickets sold. Tickets allotted. People not showing up with those tickets that have already been purchased.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense, but it makes sense, if that makes any sense. So.
Well, as long as someone pays for it.
Right,
they don't
right.
have to show up.
Right, exactly. And that's what they do. John, always good to talk to you. Thanks for calling in. I'll call you John, and that's the only name I'll use today.
Yeah. I'll bet.
Not little John, not old John, John.
That's Tom talking. Thank you, John. Appreciate you calling in. I'll see you soon. I guess he hung up. I'm not too sure. I didn't hear hang up.
No, he's still there.
Oh, is he? Okay. Well, John, take care. We'll see you soon again. We've got to take a break here on 10:30 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. So, you were the game?
I was. I was in attendance, unfortunately.
Not basketball, football, right?
Football, yeah.
Football, right. So what did you make? Because that was probably one of your first games. How many games have you been to?
That was actually my second game. I went to the UCLA game.
That was a little bit, they won, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely like the defense's like best performance like, by far.
Yeah, and that's like, and UCLA's kind of caught fire since then. Well, played better, I should say.
Yeah.
So what do you make of the local crowd or the local fan base? You're from Miami.
Yeah.
Miami, Florida, not Miami, Arizona.
Exactly.
No, because it's a Miami, Arizona.
Yeah, somebody told me that. I'm like, I couldn't believe it. I was so confused. I'm like, are you talking about like Florida or like?
Yeah, no, it's as big as this room here. what do you make of the fan base
of University of Arizona football?
Yeah. Arizona football and then Arizona.
Arizona football almost feels like a dying breed. I mean, it's like there's like really like no interest whatsoever. Mm-hmm. It seems like they always get put or like slid like under the rug. Like once basketball comes,
that happens a lot. Yeah. Yes. And this is like, your first year, and that's what you got to
exactly.
Sense
yeah.
Way.
And like the whole like focal point gets shifted to the basketball team once they come around, mm-hmm. and it's like
it's been that way for years.
Exactly. I still feel like it would be that way even if the team was like, you know,
really good.
Yeah. I still feel.
Yeah, I think that there's only been like a handful of times that it hasn't been.
Yeah.
Like 98, 2014, 15, maybe 90s, whatever, because they've always looked forward to basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But football, they hang on to as long as they can. if they're winning, they hang on until they can't.
Oh, yeah.
Because they always try to get to that Rose Bowl and it hasn't happened. And they just want to continue to win. And that doesn't happen very often.
No.
So, yeah. What about basketball? You did not go to the game.
I didn't go to the game, but
you watched it.
I watched it. Yeah, somebody posted it on like on a website or something.
So what did you see? What did you like?
Oh man, I'll tell you what. The thing that really stood out to me, Nanji,
of course.
Like
yeah.
He was just like very impressive, like in the paint, like this physical presence. Man, like he's just like getting rebounds left and right. Really good scorer in the post.
Does it matter? Do you play ball? Did you play ball?
I played ball. Yeah.
What kind of ball?
Just like. Like Parks and Rec in like middle school, like
oh
yeah, basketball.
So he's not like a little high school, little lower.
No,
so my point would have been, does playing inferior opponents matter when you play a game and you look really good?
Not really. I mean, I was talking about it with some buddies, like you know, Arizona looked really good, but like it's against a team that's not even like nationally recognized or
right,
like considered
right.
like a top 25 team.
So and what do you like, make of that?
I think it's kind of like people are going to overlook it for sure.
Or think too much of it?
Yeah, I think they might think too much of it. I think it could be a little bit like an overreaction of like what this team is capable of. I mean, I think that, don't get me wrong, like they have a lot of talent. Like especially like the freshman class
course,
that just
yeah,
came in,
course.
And you know, good coaching as always. But I mean, we'll see. Like once they start playing like more quality opponents, like
I think Sunday will be a nice little test.
Good
I know
barometer
it's here.
To where like the team is at mm-hmm, currently. Mm-hmm. So.
And we'll see. We'll see. I mean, that's NAU is NAU. I think the last few games they've averaged 42 points in beating them.
Yeah.
Over so it was no different.
Exactly.
So you can't really gauge the success of what's going to happen or how good you really are.
Yeah.
And Najee had a great game.
He did.
But there was nobody that could match him.
Exactly.
And or any of the others.
Yeah.
So how do you gauge? You don't. You're just happy that you played well. You played together. Yeah. Looked good. And guess what? You move on.
Yeah. I mean, I felt it was just like the right step, and like.
Oh yeah. Beats the alternative.
Just, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's NAU. Like, we did the same thing to them in football, and look what happened. Like
exactly.
Yeah.
No. And that's a great analogy because that's exactly the right thing. Tonight, I know that my guy here, Tom, pays attention to this. The women's basketball team plays tonight, too. They play Santa Clara. Who do they play tonight? Yeah. So, game two for them should be fun. I think if you go to a game, you need to go watch them.
Really?
Because they're fun. In fact, I hadn't watched a game in a long time. I went last year to the NIT playoffs, and the atmosphere is completely different than the men's game. It's actually fun.
Wow.
Yeah. Arizona, Tom was saying it was a good reaction this Saturday, whenever it was last week. And I'm thinking, okay, it was better. It was better than last year because last year they didn't have much to cheer about.
Mm-hmm.
But the women's game and the men's game are totally different in terms of attendance mm-hmm. and clientele, and you're allowed to like you're allowed to scream in both sides, but it was just different. It's a different atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a chance, go see the women's
absolutely
good coach, a lot of excitement going on.
You know what the men's basketball team opponent for Sunday is doing tonight.
They are playing tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, Grand Canyon.
They're at Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
They're already in Arizona.
Yeah, no, no. In fact, Bruce Pascoe was headed to that game. That's why he was going to go watch it. Makes sense now. They play at 8, don't they? Or they play at 7? They play at 7?
That was Central Time, so I don't know.
No, couldn't be.
It's coming up, so you're probably right.
Couldn't be, because over Central Time, it's 5 o'clock.
So here. So it'd be 7 Mountain Times, 8 yeah, Central Time? Okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay.
So that's good. Maybe he'll call me from there. Yeah, it's 7 o'clock here this time. So in about 35 minutes. That makes sense because they'll be playing. They're sticking around for a couple of games. You were too young to remember that Illinois game. You don't even know about it.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't even much like an avid like college like basketball like viewer, honestly, mm-hmm. at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I didn't start really watching college basketball till like a year later, like in 07.
Oh, really?
I would say,
because?
Yeah.
Because?
Since being from Florida, like, I was always a big, like, Florida Gator fan.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I was,
that's when they had Billy Donovan.
Exactly. That was, like, the golden era for, like, Florida basketball. Like, mm-hmm. 06, 07, back-to-back they national titles.
Right, yeah. Right.
But the whole state of Florida is kind of like Arizona when it comes to, are you a football fan or a basketball fan?
Yeah.
Most everybody is following high school and college football.
Sure. No, it's a big deal.
It's
a big deal. No, Florida's not so good anymore. Basketball, they're okay with their Florida State's gotten a little bit better.
I think Florida might have received like too much hype, or like in terms of preseason ranking.
Florida,
like
they gave or them, Florida State.
Florida. Okay. They gave them a number 8 ranking, which I'm not sure if that's like kind of a stretch, but yeah, I hope they surprise me, because like I'm still a fan of the.
Oh, are you of the Gators?
Yeah, I'm still a fan.
Are
of
you?
Them.
You're kind of far from there, weren't you? They're in Gainesville.
From Miami, it's about like 4.5-hour drive.
I guess if you're going to have to pick a team, that would be the team to be.
Yeah.
Although Miami's pretty good now under their recent coach, a guy who was in trouble too with the NCAA.
Oh, yeah.
Larinaga. Yeah. And then that one Central, what was that one school where the coach at USC is now? He used to be, he came up with some big wins out in Florida. So Gulf Coast.
Florida Gulf Coast.
Yeah. That, how they won in the tournament a few years back.
Oh, yeah. They had like that. They're like stealing headlines of the high-flying, like, fast break offense.
Right. Now he's like,
Nick Saban's former offensive coordinator?
No. We're talking basketball.
Which school are you talking about?
We're talking basketball.
Oh, okay.
We're talking basketball. Okay, he's now
you're not talking about Florida Atlantic. All right.
No. I was about to say.
No. So now that coach is at USC. But, you're still young. I have T-shirts older than you. That's not good.
Wow.
Wow, I'm really older than you, like 30. I collect those things. It's, you know, dust rags, as my mom would say. I assume you're going to go. You're not going to go Sunday, probably. You're not a zoo guy, are you?
So a zoo guy? No. I don't know. My friends are trying to get me into it, so. I mean, we'll see. Like, there's still time.
There's plenty of time for you to kind of get acclimated.
Yeah, absolutely.
Into the world of athletics here. Tom, I know you're not going, but what are you hoping to see this weekend? Another win?
Well, more of what we saw against NAU, and I know NAU is not that competitive,
mm-hmm.
so they had an opportunity to work on some things that maybe they wouldn't have been able to against a more competitive team. I'm hoping to see them just keep on the direction that they showed they were going in. We're not playing half-court offenses looking to the coach for him to tell you what the play is going to be.
Yeah, and they didn't do that often.
They didn't do that.
Yeah, which
that
is a good thing.
That was, I had never seen that before with Miller, so that was great.
It's funny, I got a I was at a barbershop today, and that's kind of what they were talking about, how refreshing it was to see what they looked like and how they played, because you typically don't get to see that.
Yeah. Let the guards survey the field and get a play going.
Yeah, trust your guards.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break here at the half-hour mark. Come back on the other side here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Welcome to the show. In with me is Mr. Brian Savage.
Correct, Savage.
Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I say that last name. That's your second go-around here. What do you think of Tucson? It ain't Miami.
Yeah, it's not Miami. I mean, it's different. Like, The people are definitely a lot nicer, you know. People in Miami, just notorious for being like super rude and just like being so self-centered and like just very materialistic. I don't really get that out here. I don't get that sense.
No.
It feels like this is more like a congruent, more tight-knit community.
Mm-hmm. Congruent.
Yeah.
Could you Google that word for me there? Congruent.
You're the wordsmith. All I do is push buttons.
I'll use that in a sentence later.
Yeah.
It's not as congruent.
I felt like this welcoming. Like,
oh, yeah, it is. Like, it's one of the friendliest places around. Mm-hmm. It's very giving and charity-wise, things like that. Does a lot of things like that. If you meet somebody, they're usually not from here. They're from somewhere else.
Exactly.
And the natives, of course, are very good, are very nice. And if you've been here 5 years, you're native enough. You know, I've been here 30 and I'm not from Tucson, but it's home to me, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I think my boy Tom got here in the early 70s, 80s. When did you get here, Tom?
Well, no, my folks moved here in the 70s. Well, let's see, around 82.
And you moved back.
And I stayed in Alaska. Well, my dad had long since left Alaska and gone to California.
Uh-huh.
And so that part of the family, the rest of the family except me was in California and I was in Alaska.
Wouldn't you agree with Mr. Bryan on the friendliness of Tucson?
Yeah, it's sort of more of a small town feel to it, even though it's a city of a million.
Yeah, to me it's like, I don't know if you know this reference, I know that Tom will. It's like Mayberry. That wants to be Raleigh, but can't be Raleigh because it's always going to be Mayberry.
Tucson RFD.
Yeah, you don't know what I'm talking about, do you, Brian?
Yeah, I have no idea, actually.
But you do, Tom, right?
Yeah.
Please tell me.
So
yes.
if we're more like a Midwest town, except we don't have a plaza with a church in the middle.
That's true. We don't. We have Armory Park.
we have... The Western style shopping malls and shopping centers.
Yeah. Mayberry RFD was a TV show. Mm-hmm. Way before your dad too.
Were they set in? South Carolina?
North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, and Raleigh was the big city and everyone wanted to go to a big city. You know? It's like us in Phoenix. We like being the small city, but we're not. You know, we're not small really, but we want to be the big city, but we're not. We don't know who we are. I'm kind of curious, how in the world did you throw like a dart and wherever it landed, you came to school?
I mean, like, I got like this offer and like in the mail because like they're recognizing like my academic excellence or performance, whatever you want to call it. And they gave me this this nice little scholarship.
Sure.
Award.
Take advantage of
it. And I was like, yeah, you know what? Arizona seems like a cool school to go to. And I'll be honest with you, like, I would say even like 5-6 months ago, I would have never thought that I'd ever come here. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't even like
hit the radar.
Yeah. And so, it never even occurred to me.
So had you been here before? No, probably.
No, I've never been.
So you drove in, correct?
Yeah, I drove in.
How was that?
Well, you see, I was living in like Colorado at the time.
Oh, were you?
So yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Okay.
But still, it's still kind of like a...
Where in Colorado?
It's a town called Pueblo.
Oh, yeah. We talked about this. Yeah, that school. Just south Colorado.
South Colorado Springs, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have some know some people back there because I grew up in northern New Mexico. So it's not too far. Maybe
exactly.
4 or 5 hours en route to Denver.
Yeah.
As you go, you know, up that road, 25.
It's a beautiful drive, though, I'll tell you.
It is a beautiful drive. It is, especially the summer.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's not cold. I hate cold weather.
I know, same.
Yeah, yeah. Alaska, how long were you in Alaska, Tom?
How long was I in Alaska? A little over 30 years, about 30, 33 years.
Wow, so you're extreming it. It wasn't one extreme to the other.
Yeah, well, I mean, being an Air Force brat,
we
moved around a lot. So yeah. I've seen a lot of weather extremes.
Yeah. Well, if anybody wants to call in, please do 790-2040. I want to talk about this game this weekend, one and two, the game from 13 years ago when Arizona played Illinois. I know no one wants to really talk about that, but I was watching it again today, just recently actually, and it's just bizarre. It was bizarre. I was hoping Anthony calls me. I know he's kind of on deadline with a lot of different things. And how they had a 14, 15-point lead with about 5 minutes left, 4 minutes left. Excuse me. And
at what point in the playoffs Were they? Were they in the Elite Eight?
Yeah, they was, okay. And it was funny because, or funny is not the right word, ironic or whatever. They just needed one stop, and it would have been the difference. It could have just easily been the difference, and they just couldn't get that one stop. I mean, the ball fell perfectly for Illinois for 4 minutes, and Arizona could not do anything. And then in the overtime, they beat them in the overtime, and Arizona had a chance to win it in overtime. And there was no true attempt to win it from the three-point line. It was just like everything that went well for 35 minutes went well for Arizona. Had a big – I know that Anthony and I were already looking for Final Four arrangements to get to the Final Four. It would have been probably Lute's last time, his last hurrah, get there. You know, he would have been at the time the oldest coach to get to a Final Four. I think he was 72 at the time.
Wow.
And just it wasn't meant to be. Do you believe in destiny? I know you're just a kid. So.
I do, like, in a way. Like, I feel like if
either
a team,
you do or you don't, there, senor.
I do, honestly. I think, like, a team, you know, like that, it reminds me of, like, that 83 NCAA state team with that coach.
Oh, North Carolina State.
Yeah, North Carolina State.
Yeah. Jim Valvano.
Yeah. Like, they just seem destined to go all the way.
I remember back then. I don't remember yesterday. Yeah, so Jim Valvano, 83, they played in Albuquerque. That's one of the reasons why I remember.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man.
Who'd they beat?
I know they beat the incredible Houston team. Olajuwon.
Fice Lamajama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Olajuwon Drexler. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's still considered one of the greatest upsets in college game.
Very much so. Well, how do you remember this stuff? You weren't even born.
I mean... You know, I do some research, some digging.
Wow, like, you're a young kid who does that.
Yeah.
Because everyone would say, it was before my time. I don't remember.
You've got yourself a good intern and didn't know it.
Yeah, well some of the good stuff you remember.
Well, give ESPN some credit.
Played the 30.
That was a great 30 for 30 documentary that they did covering the entire team.
Of course it was. Yeah, yeah, man. Some guys have already passed.
Yeah, that was probably my favorite 30 for 30 clip.
Yeah, yeah. The guy who dunked it, I can't remember his name. I think he's passed.
Oh, really?
I think a couple of key Whitney. I can't remember. There's been some key players that have passed.
Yeah.
Because from that documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously Valvano has passed.
Yeah. I mean, I just remember what was really cool. Like, they had like kind of like this reunion, like I think like 30 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And like they just sat at like a restaurant at this big table. And I remember particularly like one guy, he would just start like kind of like going at Michael Jordan, saying like, yeah, he wasn't Michael Jordan at that time.
Right,
you know,
right.
I held my own against him. Like, he was nothing, you know, just talking all this stuff. Like,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No, that was fun to watch.
Glad that you almost cut your word here. Yeah, on the radio. I cut to myself all the time.
So how about the farthest Sean Miller team has gotten?
Elite Eight?
Was it the Elite Eight that they lost to Duke last second with Jordan, what's-his-face, missing the shot?
No, it wasn't Jordan. It was my guy. The name will come to me, but he's had three chances.
Wasn't Solomon Hill.
No.
It was
Jamal Horn.
Oh, Jamal, yeah.
Jamal Horn, that one they came close to. They lost to Wisconsin with the Johnson last-second miss from Johnson. You know Johnson. They had a chance to win there when the ball kind of trickled off the rim. And then again a year later when they lost to Wisconsin, bigger, obviously. So he's been there three times.
Help me remember the game against Duke. Did they win the game against Duke?
They killed Duke. They killed Duke.
And they lost to Wisconsin.
They lost to Connecticut.
Or Connecticut.
The eventual champion.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah, and they had that game played well, too. They had just gone on this crazy run with Derek Williams and did really well. So they have it in them, you know, and they played really well.
Only time they've got to the Elite Eight under Sean?
No, three times. I said the Wisconsin, two times with Wisconsin, and that time with when they beat Duke. And no one thought they'd beat Duke, and they crushed Duke.
Yeah.
Derek Williams was unbelievable.
Yep.
Anybody wants to call in, please do, 790-2040. In fact, somebody talked about the best teams on Twitter. I think it was yesterday, and I haven't really talked about this in a long time. The best teams to ever play at Arizona, there's like a list of five or six. 88 was one, 2001 was one, 98, 97, 2013, and there's some others sprinkled in there, but, you know, obviously 97 won it all.
Mm.
So everyone says, well, 97, of course. To me, it was 2001.
How many of the guys on the 98 team were on the 97 team?
Everybody came back.
So
on the 98 team?
The 98, yeah.
Everybody came back.
Weren't they thinking that they were going to repeat?
Yes, that was the whole thing. They had this big marketing plan called DOS. DOS, DOS, and it failed in the Elite Eight. They lost to Utah. It was a crushing blow, in fact. A lot to that story. A lot to that story, the Bucks and the Triangle and Two and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Andre Miller and the rest of those guys. Let's take a quick break before we go over time here. You're listening to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. We'll be back. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. We have about 10 minutes left. What's the best team you ever seen there, Mr. Bryan? Best team.
Best team in general?
Yeah.
Like, in all sports?
All sports.
I'd have to say, going back, like, as, like, a five-year-old. Yeah, man. When, like, football was, like, really relevant in University of Miami. Like, that was back when they had, like, 30, 40, like, draft picks from that.
Was that under Erickson? Was Erickson the coach?
When
they were kind of crazy? I was going to say another word, but they were kind of crazy. They did that. They did a 30-30.
Yeah, exactly.
What year was this?
2001, I believe. They're considered one of the greatest college football teams.
When was Jimmy Johnson coaching?
That was back in the 80s. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think
those are some pretty good Miami teams.
Oh, yeah. But this one was like they call them the criminals.
In my lifetime, yeah. Like, they just, we got this, like, undeserved, I guess, like, reputation for being, like, the bad boys or, like, the criminals.
No, they lived
kinda
it up,
like,
too.
Back in, like, the late 80s with the Pistons, you know? This, like, bad boy persona. And they embraced it, too, so.
Yeah.
It's not like they were hiding away from it.
Yeah. Was that under Erickson?
I think so. I want to say so. Or the other guy with the beard, with the mustache.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
If you Googled
it. But I didn't think his teams had that reputation.
Yeah, no, they had it. It was pretty bad.
They still did. Yeah.
What was it? Schembechler, some blah, blah, blah.
But the 80s, it was much more heightened.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure. Definitely. Sure. And then there was like the Death Row, the music with those guys. Not Death Row, but it was the music back those days. In fact, because
I know what you mean. Like, are you talking about like the rap?
Yeah,
like,
the rap.
Oh, okay, rap guy, industry. Yeah,
it was back there. Miami kind of embraced it and whatever. It'll come to me eventually. So that was back. And you were just a 5 year old.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, some reason, like, I'm vividly like able to remember that.
Yeah, well, welcome to my world. I remember way back before I remember yesterday. Tom, the best team you've ever seen?
Well,
Howard Schnellenberger, that was it.
When we talked about this before, I was thinking of the 70s Steelers.
Oh, yeah.
Raiders.
Yeah.
Probably me, even though I'm a Raider fan, I probably would go with a couple of the 70 Steeler teams.
Yeah, those were good.
But Urban Meyer was coaching the Gators. Mm-hmm. They had some pretty dominant college teams.
Mm. Why did you pay attention to that?
I'm an ex-University of Florida Gator.
Oh, okay, that's
really
okay.
Wow. I'm still a fan of the Gators, even though I'm a fan of the Wildcats too.
Same, like, I'm still like a fan of the Gators, but like my allegiance is more like University of Miami.
Was Butch Davis the coach of the Miami Hurricanes at the time when they were having those?
No, they weren't any good. There, they weren't. It was Erickson or Jimmy. It was Erickson. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Schellenberger is the guy that you were trying to remember.
I just
and
said
he was before Jimmy Johnson.
Well, you know what? I know there's Mike Shannon came like after
Randy Shannon.
Randy Shannon. I'm sorry, Randy Shannon.
Yeah,
he came in like 2003, four or something.
Seven. Yeah.
Oh, was it seven?
Google's fine.
I thought it was earlier than that.
No.
Google's four.
No, they've had a lot of coaches in the last few years.
Yeah,
trying to rekindle that magic. Arizona's had. Since Tomey, 20 years. We talked about this with Greg Hansen on Monday, which I thought was a very good show. In fact, I'll probably replay that at some point. They had Mike Stoops, Rich Rod, and now Sumlin. Four dudes in 20 years.
Wow.
And the magic can't be found. There's not the right magic. Maybe some guy will find it. Maybe Sumlin will find it, catch it in a bottle. Who knows? He has very little time, not little time, he has a lot of time left, whether people are patient with him and attendance gets better or whatever, and we'll see.
Well, do you think the team's going to have to start winning some games before that happens?
Oh, no question. Yeah. Will they? That's the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
They may not win another one. We talked about that earlier this show. It might have to be next year. I mean, you saw when I had Hanson on Monday. You weren't here when we did the Hanson story. Arizona has won the fewest games in the last 20 years since Tomey left in the Pac-10, Pac-12.
Well, all right, let's give Sumlin a little bit of slack. This is only his second season, full season, really, when you think about it, as head coach. Next year is the year that we, no more excuses, coach. This is the 2021 season is when you got to start showing what you got.
Yeah, and then people will say, well, you got to give him another year because his recruiting class is going to be there more. Yada, yada.
Yeah, but this is going to be his first recruiting class. It's going to be more of his players.
Sure.
So I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's a chicken and the egg thing. How much time do you give him and how much do you don't give him, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. I think attendance and apathy and where you go from this and who could they get and where do you go from here? They're still paying Rich Rod whatever they owed him, $6 million. And now they have to pay Sumlin if they do decide. They're not going to do that. That's extreme. You know, pay $7.5 million, $10 million, whatever it is. It's a lot of money, even for a place that's perceived to have money.
And they haven't even talked about a likely successor.
No. And they wouldn't. Of course, they wouldn't right now. In fact, you were talking to me earlier. What are they going to do with a defensive coordinator? It's going to be a while. It's going to be probably mid-December before that's decided. Because, one, they might have the guy right now, and his name is Chuck Cecil. Brings a name to the program. He's good at what he does. He just doesn't have the right players right now.
He'll have three games to show us if his way is going to produce in the future.
Right. But again, he doesn't have the players. So if you don't have the players...
I know, but if he's got some good ideas, we're bound to see something.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and I think that'll help.
So, you know, good approach.
Right.
And a rapport with the other coaches, et cetera.
But when you would ask me, I think it's way too early to say, you know, 2 weeks in, that was a, you know, everyone thought that there'd be an emotional boost because of it. Didn't happen. Now they go on the road against some of the best teams in the conference. The problem with that, everybody else is getting better in the conference, and Arizona is not. That's the scary part.
You know, there's one thing this season, even though there have been some injuries, Arizona hasn't had the kind of number of injuries and successive injuries that they've had in the last three or four seasons.
Right. And that stunted their growth over the last couple of years with Tate and with Johnson and...
And the linemen, especially.
Sure.
The offensive linemen and just defense.
They're just not good enough right now. They're just not good enough. Young, not talented enough.
I just think that, like, they just need better recruiting classes, like, overall, especially on the defensive side. Like, they're really, I think, on the defensive line, especially, they're just lacking, like, size and athleticism.
Yeah, that's and easy. It's like, yes, you're right. But let me tell you, it's easier said than done. And you're here. You see them. They
have done a little better with size on the defensive line and getting to the quarterback sometimes a little bit better than they did last season.
I still think it's like really inconsistent from what I've seen.
Size and all that, good for you. But if you're not good enough, you're not good enough.
It's like you have to finish the play, like no matter what.
Right.
Like no excuses.
Exactly. We'll see. More power to him. I know you, before we started the show, my boy Tom was giving me grief about me being a Debbie Downer. No, but I'm okay with that. You weren't. I'm just trying to be realistic. I'm not going to blow smoke because what's the point on the show to kind of, oh, well, Steve said they were going to be good. In fact, I got the email in August when one of the listeners said to me, why are you so down? They're going to be okay. They're going to be okay. I never got another email since. sorry.
All right,
to say.
Well,
you know,
we're all keeping our fingers crossed that they can maybe pull off one victory out of the remaining three.
Well, if they get one, they're still not going to a bowl.
No,
and that's fine.
They're not going to a bowl. We understand that.
The bowl thing is just kind of overhyped and blah blah blah.
Yeah,
because bowl. Okay, so you go to the Cheez-It Bowl. Okay,
but if they bring the Territorial Cup back to Tucson,
that'll help.
Give us something to
look forward to.
Feel good about,
especially like John said earlier. because that was such a downer last year, like a big time downer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That it was like, you know, what just hit me? A blow to the gut.
So. And also, like John said, the game between Arizona and Arizona State, the Territorial Cup game, anything can happen.
Sure, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said that.
Was I've that the, okay? Yeah. Well, no, all right.
Because I've seen it.
Steve said
It's happened too many times.
Yes, we've seen that.
We say just in weird ways. In weird, sometimes the better team doesn't win. And I think this year that's going to be hopeful for Arizona.
But I think with like Arizona, like just to find like any like silver lining.
Yeah.
And like these last three games, like I think their bowl game would be against Utah. Because like
no, it'll be
just
ASU.
Just a matter. Do you think it'll be ASU?
Oh, it's yeah. It'll be everything will be ASU.
But
yeah.
I just think like if because I know like their odds of beating like a Utah team that's not on good. The cusp of like entering the college football playoff, you know, perhaps like if they upset them, that'd be wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
good
national news. Yeah,
good
it's not going to happen.
Hey, thanks for coming in today, Brian.
Great. Well, thank you.
We'll
appreciate
see you guys.
It.
Thanks, everybody,
pleasure
for the week.
Pleasure being here. Thank you.
The Rivera hostage situation is now officially over. Talk to you guys next week.